The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hey, let's roll on a Thursday morning on a numbers game. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. Hey, Kelly, we more than halfway home. Gilly's back in a few days. Kelly Bidlin's here as well.
That's what the whole audience is thinking, too, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know the audience
Halfway home.
I know the audience is obviously thinking that. It's like, hey, you have to listen to Parlay the whole week? What the hell? Not good. Hey, we're happy to be with you today. What do we have on the show today? We got Jason Weingarten, top of the next hour. We have Dwayne Colucci. It'd be good to talk with Dwayne.
I haven't talked to him in forever.
I haven't talked to Dwayne in a while. Nicest guy in Las Vegas. Runs the sportsbook up at the Rampart Casino in Summerlin. And then John Jansen, who you hear in Philadelphia radio, 10:30 Eastern time. A great time with that. And Kelly and I's opinions on a lot of nonsense today. Right, Kelly?
As always.
Before we get into sports, Kelly, I told our audio engineer, Kev, earlier this story. And Kev was impressed. It's very hard to impress Kevin Trask in the corner over there. But Kevin was impressed by this.
Okay.
So I went to Costco yesterday.
I hold his opinion very high, too.
Look, of anyone who works at the network, Kev is easily in the top 10% of opinions that matter. Easily.
Okay.
Easily. So
come up with a top 10 list tomorrow and
I'll get myself in trouble on that one. So I went to Costco yesterday. By the way, it was snowing. It was actually snowing in Vegas for about 3 hours.
Yeah, wouldn't we have 70 degrees on Tuesday?
It was very Midwestern like.
70 degrees on Tuesday, snow yesterday. A lot of fun.
I haven't had a weather pattern like that since I lived in Columbia, Missouri for all those years. So, Kelly, I haven't been to Costco since I was a teenager. Been a long time. My fiance bought a membership. Under the weather this week, so she's like, "We need food. Go up there, get there." I'm like, "All right."
I got a membership to get my groceries.
So
it's just you and her. What are you buying? Tubs of Cheetos and stuff like that?
No. Trust me, I bought a lot of stuff I didn't need.
17 shampoo packs.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going in there. I don't want to spend more than $200. I did forget that. So that's part of the reason this is as good as it is. $249.99 is what I wanted to spend at most, Kelly. Okay.
What was the number?
$249.99.
Okay. Wait. You came up with this number before you entered the Costco?
I was like, I don't want to spend. I don't want to get to $250.
Okay.
All right. We're good. I can get about 10 days worth of stuff.
Does everybody think that way when they go grocery shopping? I've never seen
No. In normal circumstances, like if I'm going like Vons or Smith's, no, I never think like that.
Okay.
But when I'm going to Costco.
What if it was $256? Would you start pulling items off? You're like, well, hold on.
I would have been like, well, you just overspent on another thing, you dummy. That would have been another. That's all it would have been.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
It's okay. Kelly.
Very curious.
Get to the register. Go through it. We're going through and like, all right, I think we're going to be pretty close here. What do you think the final number was?
I hope it was 256.
No, it was 248.95.
Nailed it, man. Good job.
Price is Right style.
Did you get a hot dog on the way out?
I did not. Price is Right.
You had a dollar to spare.
Price is Right style. If we were playing Price is Right, I would have won every showcase.
Were you there with your fiance?
No, I was on my own.
Did you celebrate it all? Did you go little tiger?
So you know how it is. Like I don't want to be like fist pump in front of the cashier.
I don't know how it is. I don't have a special membership.
I kind of like as soon as I saw the number, I like nodded my head in approval. I'm like, all right, good job, good work.
Oh, good job, Jeff.
Good work.
You conquered Wednesday.
I conquered Wednesday, and not only that, I obviously should be an odds maker on Costco prices.
You should. Who have we had on Price is Right before? Adam Candy, I believe, was on Price is Right.
Was he?
And I'm just going to guess Ron Flatter was.
I think Flatter had to have been.
I think he was.
Flatter's been on every game show that's ever existed. So former VSiN host Ron Flatter, who's now in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, he is.
There you go. See, I know that was very interesting for everyone, but I thought it was fun.
I had a good time.
I know Kelly had a good time. All right, let's get to the news today. Kelly, I actually almost asked you before the show today. Can we start the show in darkness and put the lights on in honor of Aaron Rodgers getting out of his darkness retreat?
That would have been a good idea. Why did you say that?
No, because usually what happens is whenever I ask anything maybe. With the lights, it's like, oh, it's going to mess something up if we do it too late, or we do them both at the same time.
Yeah, Jeff. I mean, I know none of our great engineers are listening to me right now, but what we could have done is done it and then apologized after.
We could have, Ken Dez, we're sorry, even though we didn't do anything. So Aaron Rodgers is out of the darkness retreat. All the odds for the next team have been taken down?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Interesting.
I was looking for that for us to discuss this morning, and maybe I missed a book or two. If people are out there, tweet them in, I guess. But, every book I looked at, they were down.
That's interesting.
Did he walk out and my cell phone?
Did he walk out and basically say, you know what, I know what I want to do. I am staying with the Green Bay Packers, or I know what I'm doing, and I am going on another darkness retreat?
Who knows?
It's exhausting, this whole thing with him. What an exhausting dude. Great football player. The most talented quarterback I've ever watched. Exhausting.
The best is the owner, because now I'm seeing a Schefter tweet too. The owner of this facility in Southern Oregon, I love how he so quickly capitalized on the Aaron Rodgers being at his facility and ratted him out immediately to every reporter that he could have.
Southern Oregon.
Like, we didn't know he was going to Southern Oregon until today when he emerged and everybody's reporting it via the owner of the place.
According to the Scott Berman guy who owns Sky Cave Retreats, by the way, Kelly, that's the name of it.
Get it right, Kelly. Come on.
So Berman said, so Rodgers spent all this time in a 300-square-foot room that's partially underground, devoid of light, queen bed, bathroom, a meditation-like mat. Oh, this is ridiculous. Apparently, this thing can be turned. You can turn on the lights inside the room.
Okay. So, like, throw a couple TVs in there, and it's exactly like my apartment. So
no, how is this any different? Why would you spend? Okay, hold on. This opens up a whole different can of worms here. Why would you spend any money to go on this retreat where you actually have the option to turn the lights on? Yes, I understand it's probably a safety issue. God forbid anything happens to anyone at that retreat. But isn't the point of going on a darkness retreat that you have no option but to be in the darkness?
Director Matt chimes in. What about if you have to use the restroom? Maybe okay, give him the lights on.
Give him a lantern. Give him a lantern.
Okay.
Like it's camping. Let's go. You're out in the. Again, this is funny. Me talking about camping. I don't think you can find.
Camping professional.
I don't think you can find a human being who's less likely to go camping than me.
Over under $349.50 on camping equipment at Costco.
Well, way over or way under, because it's either going to be zero or all of it, Kelly. It's just interesting. Because we talked yesterday about the Derek Carr thing where the Jets tell him, hey, if you sign with us, you win in New York, you could be
Hall of Famer.
You could be Hall of Famer. First ballot. Forget being on multiple ballots. First ballot. Kurt Warner didn't even get in on the first ballot, but you could, Derek Carr. But it's just this whole quarterback's carousel is going to be exhausting, Kelly. I really hope this gets done like a month before the draft. Like we know where Carr is going. We know if Rodgers is playing or not. We know if Lamar Jackson is just going to play on the franchise tag in Baltimore, assuming that's the route that happens there. But this Aaron Rodgers guy, it's just so exhausting. It's so exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Buckling because I don't think it's over anytime soon.
Knowing him, we won't know anything until probably July, right?
Man, I don't know.
I mean, if it's July, it's Green Bay or nothing at that point.
I don't think that. Well, the thing is, he's still under team control. The Packers are going to be the first one to make a move.
Correct.
They're going to say, "Hey, we can't wait for you any longer. We got to go and make a move. And if that means you're not coming back, then we're dealing you."
So here's the deal, Kelly. Obviously, when Favre got traded to the Jets and then that mess happened. Do you know what the date was on that, Kelly?
No idea.
How about August 7th?
Yeah, that's incredible.
It was late because remember, Favre retired and then showed up at training camp with Rodgers when they were like, Aaron Rodgers is our guy. And there you go.
Yeah, it's a different story, though. Because yeah. Aaron Rodgers is not going to do that, right?
Are we sure? He's capable of doing anything.
Is that how it worked? Favre retired, then came back.
Then came back.
And it got immediately dealt to the
Jets. Then it was the Jets or Tampa.
Yeah.
Because the Jets had an injured Chad Pennington at the time. And they decided that Favre was the better option. And, Kelly, you remember what happened that year.
Yeah.
Pennington goes to Miami, and the Dolphins win their only division title of the millennium. Well, there you go, as we all expected. But he's out of the darkness, Aaron Rodgers. We'll tell you more as we get along here. And then one other thing to do, Kelly, we did lose our college basketball play yesterday. Good UConn showed up in the second half. Nothing you can do. That was always the risk. That's the deal with betting against the Huskies. When they decide to play and they're not making boneheaded mistakes, as good as anyone in the country. And they hammered Providence in the second half, winning by 18, 87-69 final. And then the one other game, Kelly, we didn't bet this, but Boston College really handled Virginia yesterday, 63-48. There's only one team in the ACC that I even think is worth anything at this point, tournament-wise. And it's your Miami Hurricanes, Kelly.
My Miami Hurricanes. Yes. Don't ever say that again.
I know how much you love them. The FSU grad in the back, Kelly Bidlin. Miami's the only team in the ACC that I think can make a run. But they're really bad defensively. Hey, speaking of college hoops, we have Final Four odds a little under a month away from Selection Sunday here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and plenty more. Download the MGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID. To open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Happy to be with you on a Thursday morning. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. John Jansen's with us in 15 minutes of Philadelphia Sports Radio. Fox Sports The Gambler, where you hear John Jansen. Well, you'll hear him with us in 15 minutes' time. All right. College basketball is within a month of Selection Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
Kelly Bidlin loves the NCAA tournament. We all love the NCAA tournament. So there are some odds out of DraftKings to make the Final Four. And I will say this. I want to preface this discussion right now before we get into these odds. It is very hard to find value without the bracket being available yet. You can guess. You can try to figure out where everyone's going to go. And then all of a sudden you end up with, like last year, where it's like, whoa, Kansas, the third number one seed, ended up with the easiest draw you're ever going to see. And guess what? Kansas, like a great team does, takes full advantage of the easy draw and wins a national championship. Mm-hmm. So just want to preface all this by saying that, Kelly.
So we're going to talk an NBA market later that I think kind of has similar strategy, mm-hmm. Jeff. Where if you're betting this now, I think you got to look further down the board for a team that you think is a sleeper, right, to make the Final Four and take a shot there. I think you're right. This market is very bettable once we get closer to the tournament. As long as they're still up after Selection Sunday and you know what paths teams could have, then this could be a really fun market to bet with some of the top teams, right?
Look, once you get the bracket, because all the books will come out with to win the region bets, which is the same bet as this.
Right.
So you'll be able to tell, all right, you know what? The committee actually did a good job for me. Let's say hypothetically you like Kansas, okay? Kansas gets Kansas City, which could happen. If Alabama had lost to South Carolina last night, oh, boy, here we go. could have ended up with Kansas getting basically de facto home games in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But let's say Kansas gets shipped out here, okay, Kelly? Which could happen. They could get the number one seed in the West. That's what they were in the bracket reveal on Saturday, the first of, I think, two pre-tournament reveals that the committee will end up doing. They get shipped out here and have Arizona as the number two seed? Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. That's a little bit different. Even though I think Kansas would beat Arizona, well, that would be a much more difficult game for KU. You're basically going to play. Kelly, have you been to the Pac-12 tournament since moving out here?
No.
When Arizona is good, it's an Arizona home game.
Yeah,
period.
Makes sense.
Yeah, period. That's what it is.
I mean, you see that at all the hotels, too.
All the fan bases in the Pac-12, they travel by far the best for basketball. Far and away.
And then obviously not Pac-12, but when Gonzaga's down here, we always see Gonzaga fans, right?
Look, hey, Kelly, if you're in the resale market for the NCAA tournament this year here in Vegas, first time ever there's going to be games in Nevada in the NCAA tournament, because now gambling's apparently cool, according to the NCAA.
Still amazing how quickly we shifted on this stuff.
If you get an Arizona-Gonzaga Elite Eight, you got two fan bases that, yeah, you could be in a little trouble because a lot of them could have already have your tickets. But it's the Elite Eight. It's Las Vegas. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
What's stopping people from coming in for the weekend? Even though I will tell you, Kelly, going on that weekend also in town, of course, multiple Taylor Swift concerts. Of course.
Oh, geez.
To drive up the hotel pricing. Thanks.
Yeah, that's going to be chaos.
Yeah, that's going to be chaos.
Okay, so let's go further down the board here.
Please, I don't want to look at anything favorites-wise, Kelly. Down the board's the only thing that I would say is intriguing.
Okay, so who are teams that you think could make a run? Obviously, we don't know a bracket, but what are teams that you think that are going to make the NCAA? I think that's the other qualifier you have to have if you're going to bet this now, right? You got to know they're going to make the tournament, right?
I don't think you're betting anyone who's on the bubble.
Yeah, like, I don't think you'd be betting any bubble teams here or anything like that.
Unless if you think there is a number that is just so ridiculous, like it would not happen because of who the name is. But if you thought, all right, you know what, North Carolina's just doing the same thing they did last year, where they were inept in the regular season and they're going to get hot at the right time. But the problem is you're not going to get a good enough price on North Carolina, because North Carolina should probably be about 40-1 to make the Final Four right now, and you're not going to get that price.
Yeah, right now they are 14.
Yeah, well, that's absurd. You should be getting 4-0-1, not 1-4-1. So you can put that back up if you're watching us at VSiN.com. So, Kelly, you're asking long shots. On the last page, Creighton was +650, okay? Talked about them earlier in the week. TCU is the interesting one at 7-1.
Okay.
The one concern that I have with that number is that I think they're going to be I think they're going to be similarly priced if they are a 6 or a 7 seed.
So no reason.
There's no reason to bet it.
I think that's another great point. That's the no rush to bet this.
Yeah, no
if
rush
you
to
think
bet
they're
it.
Going to be right in that same range.
Now the other one that's interesting, Kelly.
What about Marquette? We talked about that.
I don't like Marquette. Okay. I think Marquette has played over their heads in the regular season. I think they're a very good team. I don't think they're winning. I don't think they're, again, you need to win 4 games to make the Final Four. I don't think they're winning 4. I don't think they're good enough. As much as I love the Big East this year, the only two that I think are capable of making a Final Four are Creighton and Connecticut. But I don't trust UConn because they're boneheads, even though they won big last night.
What about Kansas State? You've brought them up before.
No, I just don't think they're deep enough. They really are draw dependent, and they would need some help around them. I think you're getting a better price once you get into the – even though it'll be a 3, probably, or a 4. If they're a 4, you're definitely getting a better price than that, because they're going to get lined up with either Houston or Alabama in all likelihood, and they would be a pretty significant dog in both of those games.
Okay, I'm going to keep cruising down the board.
Kelly, I'll mention it here. I'm not going to call them your team this time. Miami Hurricanes are really interesting.
10-1.
I don't know if that's long enough right now, because the market completely disrespects them. Even though, to me, after last night, that was just another one in the long lines. If this Virginia team is, if they're too prone to having an awful offensive game, and they are capable of losing to anyone who's maybe even not any good, because Boston College is pretty mediocre, even though they've had a better-than-expected season.
What seed would you expect them to be right
Who,
now?
Miami?
Yeah.
All right, so before the Virginia Tech game, Lenardi, I think, had them as a 5. Yeah, he had them as a 5. I think Miami, remember, Kelly, they made the Elite Eight last year with not a lot of, being nowhere near as good as they are this year. Now, granted, they drew Auburn, who was going the wrong way by the time the tournament came around last year, and they smoked them in the round of 32. And then in the round of 16, Miami was actually the favorite in a 10-11 game, if you remember, against Iowa State, who was Iowa State's run to the second weekend last year was idiotic. They were fortunate to beat LSU because they had a hot shooting game, and then Wisconsin played probably the worst game I think I've ever seen from a competent team in the NCAA tournament in the round of 32. And still only lost the game by 14 when they probably should have lost the game by 20. Or excuse me, not 14. Looking at the other one. Yeah, they lost by 5. 54-49. Very good game there, Kelly.
Yep.
Very good game last year. A horrible one. I think Wisconsin shot under 25%. But I'm just curious because the market is, like I said, market's disrespected Miami all year. Their metrics offensively, they're top 10 offense in the country. We've mentioned Nigel Pack. We've mentioned Isaiah Wong. That's as good of a backcourt as anyone has in the country. They are horrible on defense. That's usually a bad sign for success in March. But with the way this field this year is so packed together, there's no great teams. We've talked about this. When you have two great guards who can both score the basketball like Wong and Back, you have a chance. And you can beat anyone. I don't know if I don't know if you're going to be able to get 10-1 by the time the tournament comes around, because if they win the ACC tournament, which, Kelly, could absolutely happen, then you're probably stuck.
Yeah.
That is a number that has to be considered right now. If you think Miami is either winning the ACC regular season, which I don't think is possible right now with the way that they – well, actually, you know what? It is possible. They're tied after Virginia's loss last night. You probably got to bet it now because they could win an ACC. Yeah. They could probably win an ACC regular season, and I would, if their number is good enough and the draw works out right in the ACC tournament, they're a plus money bet for me in that tournament.
The other thing, just thinking about what this bet is, right? Where you're talking about how good they are offensively, versus defensively. I think that defense. Look, if you can have such a good high level offense, I think I could carry you through. To the Final Four. It's where your lack of defense when you get to that point is probably going to be really problematic.
Yeah, and again, that is draw dependent. If they're in the wrong bracket with the wrong one seed, forget it. They're going to lose. John Jansen going to join us next. Host of The Line Change on Fox Sports Gambler in Philadelphia.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, in addition to the new shows that are coming next week on VSiN, VSiN is going to be kicking off a new set of podcasts that give better every single insight that you can have on the tools and confidence to make you a smarter, better. VSiN continues to expand its catalog with the following great podcasts that we have. The VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast, which, by the way, out now. Tim Murray is your host, 3 episodes a week. You'll hear Matt Humans, Adam Burke. Great college basketball insight. Of course, you have Greg Peterson's podcast as well. The Hockey Betting Podcast from VSiN, Danny Burke hosts with our guy Andy McNeil, covering everything hockey twice a week. And coming soon, beginning in March, Adam Burke, Mr. Baseball himself at the network, hosts the VSiN Baseball Betting Podcast and as well the VSiN F1 Racing Podcast. Our guy Mikhail will take you through all of it. And they're all available for free and online at vsin.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles. It is a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin here as well. And now with us, I call him a friend. And sometimes I do regret that. My good friend John Jansen with us right now, the host of The Line Change on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. John, you even dressed up with the logo of your station. I know Sean Brace is happy there with that.
I'm a company man, Jeff. I just emerge from the darkness after a few days, and I come out looking brand new and shiny with my Fox Sports The Gambler logo, and happy to be on with you, Jeff.
It's great to have you, man. And yes, we're all emerging from the darkness at this point, apparently. Aaron Rodgers.
I call that a weekend. Aaron Rodgers calls it a getaway.
can't really argue with you on that. So, John, now let's start in the NBA first, because you and I talked yesterday, and you said you're not happy with the way that the MVP discussion is going. Explain for everyone why you're not happy with that.
I'm not happy with it because of, I think, the thinking of it and why Jokic is going to again win the award. And this isn't if you're going to do the whole Philly thing. It's not about Embiid. I think that's kind of long gone. I honestly think Giannis should be the front runner for MVP right now. But I think analytics is being used in a very wrong way here. And we use analytics a lot. VSiN uses it a lot. Metrics are good. Numbers are good. We use it to make informed decisions, but we should not be used to make end all be all decisions with this. And I just feel like when we get a few years removed from this and we look back and Jokic is going to have all these MVP awards, it's going to be really funny when somebody says, oh, Jokic was the better player because he got three straight MVPs. That's like me saying Steve Nash is a better player than most NBA players because he won two straight MVP awards, when really he shouldn't have won the second one. I do it all the time because I'm a big Steve Nash fan. It's my favorite player ever in NBA history. And I throw that out all the time because it's ridiculous, but hey, I could say it. Steve Nash won two MVPs, but everybody, I say that too, goes, that's a ridiculous statement. It's just, we're using analytics in the wrong way of an end-all, be-all kind of metrics and stats. It's just, it's not supposed to be applied that way. There is supposed to be some critical thinking here. And I think using metrics, it takes away all kind of critical thinking when it comes to this. And every single time Jokic is up for an award, it's, well, he didn't have a team. All right, well, now he has a team and he's the number one team in the NBA, some would say, and now everybody's giving up to him because of that. It's changing constantly as well, the narrative around him. I don't get it. I think it's a gross misuse of numbers, and I think it needs to be changed, the way we look at this award, and actually involves some critical thinking in it.
Well, critical thinking is good, I'll give you that. It's interesting because you bring up the Nash Awards, which the second one is the most egregious MVP voting I can remember, because Kobe was clearly the MVP of the league that year, and Nash somehow won his second straight. Even the year before, Shaq should have been the MVP, and instead it was Nash. But it really is interesting how this, again, the Jokic MVP, the first one he deserved, 100%. Last year, it's funny, I thought he deserved it last year too, but people are going a little revisionist history on, oh, he didn't really deserve it. But, John, it's kind of turning, and this happens in gambling Twitter as well, this happens in all sorts of Twitter, the groupthink becomes the popular and sexy thing to join, and then all of a sudden you have a runaway train like this again, where Jokic is a $3 favorite to win the MVP again.
Yeah, and usually in most cases here, Giannis would be by far the MVP. They're second in the Eastern Conference. He's doing this basically by himself right now. I know the Bucks are dealing with some injuries, and his numbers are through the roof. And it's just these metrics. And again, I think I go back to one stat all the time, and that's in baseball. When WAR is used, and WAR is used as a kind of catch-all stat, like WAR is the number that tells you who the best player in baseball is. But I don't think that's how it should be applied. I think it could be used as a guide, what players are good, where you can rank in tiers of players, but it's not going to tell me who the best player in baseball is. I think in the NFL, if you strictly used EPA to judge quarterbacks, Jared Goff would be one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now because of his numbers this past season. Like, these numbers aren't supposed to be used in that way. They're guides for telling you, okay, maybe Goff has gotten better in that circumstance, or maybe an MLB player is now, he's gone into an elite tier. But to use it as in this way, as a, oh, well, the metrics and advanced stats tell me Jokic is better here, so he must be better, that's not the way he uses them. And I think it's the wrong application of them.
John Jansen with us right now. He hosts The Line Change on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. John, just pivoting in the NBA, we'll stay with the Eastern Conference now. Look, Boston, currently the one seed. Milwaukee's won 12 in a row. The Sixers are calmly and quietly moved up to the three seed. John, I'll just ask you this because you're in Philadelphia. Is not making the Eastern Conference Finals, even though you have two teams in front of the Sixers that, to me, are clearly better, does that constitute just another failure and probably a change of regime at this point for the Sixers?
I don't know. I don't know what would push that to a change of regime, because it felt like last year should have been the end of Doc. You know, this has been a couple of years now, a few years now, where they've gotten to a certain point and just have not been able to push through that in terms of going from the second round into the Eastern Conference final. So yeah, this, to me, this is a make or break kind of year. And that's what makes this a failure. If they don't make the Eastern Conference final, this team was built to make one. The fact that they aren't better than the two teams at the top, that obviously is a problem. And that, I think that that just goes back to the Sixers not being good enough, not getting the right talent. I think Daryl Morey making some not so great moves, but I think as of right now, I feel like the Sixers are in a good spot. I think they very clearly are part of the three teams in the Eastern Conference that win. Yes, the Cavaliers could certainly make a run because they have some really young talent. Now, Donovan Mitchell there. I just like that team overall. And I think they are a bit of a matchup problem for the Sixers. And at any point, you know, the Heat, maybe the Knicks somehow, this really works out with Brunson and Josh Hart and all that, the Villanova band getting back together. But I think the Sixers are very clearly that third team. And from what I'm seeing now, at least in February, now I don't know what it's going to be in March. I don't know what it's going to be in April or May. But I know right here in February, James Harden looks fresh. And it's probably the best basketball I've seen him play in quite a long time. His assists, he's the number one in assists in the NBA. His scoring has been good. He's actually getting by players. So last year, I think one of the big problems was he wasn't healthy and he just couldn't get to the bucket. And now he is. If he has a matchup that he could take advantage of, he can actually take advantage of it this time around. Now, the thing is, I understand that I'm saying that in February, and I don't know what his health is going to be or how fresh he's going to be in March, but I think this is, to me, the best spot the Sixers have been in since they've had Joel Embiid. They got some really good players on the bench. Maxey's been a good sixth man. Melton's been a good two-way player. I think McDaniels is going to end up being a good two-way player for the Sixers as well, that they got over in a trade from Charlotte. But I think the Sixers are in a good spot. That being said, though, I think you're right in that the Bucks and Celtics are very clearly the top two teams in the East.
John, we have about 90 seconds left. Who is the best team in college basketball?
It's Kansas, I think. I know Alabama also in that conversation, but I just think Kansas with the experience, they have a great true point guard, traditional point guard that is very good at getting that offense moving. Now, I know the offense can be inconsistent at times. They have a great freshman in Grady Dick, and they also have Jalen Wilson, who's close to 20 points per game. I think really the only knock and what would give you pause about Kansas is they won it last year, and going back-to-back, only seven teams in the history of college basketball have won back-to-back titles. It's extremely hard to do. And look, Alabama, you can make the case for. Houston, question marks because of schedule, for sure. But I just think with the experience, the fact that they do have some young talent, NBA talent, and Grady Dick there, who is only going to get better, I think Kansas, to me, is looking like probably the best team in college basketball right now.
All right, John, one word answer. The Jets quarterback next year will be who?
Ooh, Derek Carr.
There we go. Derek Carr, future Hall of Famer, according to the Jets. First ballot
Although
Hall of Famer.
Aaron Rodgers retreat, that sounds like, you know, living in New York. You know, 300 square foot, not any lights. Might as well move to New York. Go ahead.
And there you go. Chance in the Philadelphia and gets a shot in New York, and it's perfect. John Jansen, everyone. Again, you can find him on the tweets at jjansen34. Host of The Line Change on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. John, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, buddy. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. John Jansen, everyone. And again, got his shot in that New York. Very Philadelphia of him. Very Philadelphia of him. Hey, the NBA's back tonight, Kelly Bidlin.
Let's go.
Rejoice. NBA chatter on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any NHL game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. So log into your account today or sign up for BetMGM for the first time. Then opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion and place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any NHL game, and if you miss only one leg of the wager, you'll get your money back up to $25 in bonus bets. This promotional offer not available in Mississippi, New York, or Nevada.
Nevada.
Yeah. Sorry. We miss out on all the fun out here. Happy to be with you on a Thursday morning. Kelly, I nearly said Tuesday earlier in the show. We're not going back in time yet. You would not be happy because there would be no NBA to talk about today.
That's right. Back in action tonight, man.
Back in action after a week away. The All-Star game was as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah.
There are a few games that are actually quite good tonight. Denver's in Cleveland.
Oh, there's some great games.
Memphis and Philly.
John bringing it strong with the MVP talk. I don't necessarily disagree. It's tough this year. I think the one that's it's going to be tough for people, especially if Jokic doesn't do anything in these playoffs. It's just going to be tough for people to accept that he's in a class with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Moses Malone, I believe it is, of the only guys who have won three MVPs. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Three MVPs in a row, correct? Or are you talking three MVPs, period?
Three MVPs, period, I believe they are.
Jordan didn't have three? Jordan's got five.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be. Yeah, it got to be in a row. You're right.
Yeah, I think it's in a row because Jordan's got Kareem. Yeah, it's three in a row. Three in a row. Magic Johnson. Yeah, LeBron also has four. So, yes, you're talking three in a row, Kevin.
Yeah, in a row.
Yep. There we go. Larry Bird, by the way. Larry Bird going three in a row from 83 to 86 is incredibly impressive. With all the great players that were in the league at that point.
It really is. But that's where it's like you start talking championships with these teams, right? And it's, well, Jokic, how many conference finals are we making?
Oh, well,
right?
That's the thing. Like, I think for the sake this is not the conversation we're going to have here, and we'll get in. And actually, it kind of works here because we're going to talk about the best record post All-Star break in a second here. But Kelly, you're kind of at a point now where if Denver gets a number one seed, and I know it's it is a harder place to play in a regular season than the postseason. You get the one seed, you got to make the finals. I don't care that Durant.
Right.
I don't care that Durant's in the West. I don't care that the Clippers might be a legitimate threat again. I don't care if you have to play Golden State with a healthy Steph in round one. If you are the number one seed, you have to get to the finals. And if Denver, I mean, could you imagine what the Twitter narrative is going to be if Denver were to lose to Golden State in the 1-8?
Yeah.
And be insufferable.
I mean, that's going to be tough, man. If you're the one seed or the two seed in the West, if you have to face a healthy Warriors, a healthy Pelicans, it could be lined up for disaster. But that's where I think that conversation of Jokic is going to start turning if that happens. About whether this guy is, I don't want to say the word overrated, but I don't think he is either at all. But that's what people are going to start saying if that happens.
Well, again, it's just a matter. Again, you're dealing with a league that is just the top players are so talented at this point. And the fact that someone could win three in a row in this era is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis probably could have won it in Jokic's first year, mm-hmm. but they refused to give Giannis three straight, and then they're going to flip around and give Jokic three straight. I think you're right. If Denver doesn't, it's a regular season award, but if Denver doesn't make a final at least, it's not going to sit well with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Kelly. So what is this new market at DraftKings that popped out here?
Yeah, how about the best record after the All-Star game, which we are starting with tonight? I thought that was a fascinating market that they put up. So you got a race to the finish. You got a bunch of different teams. Biggest thing to keep in mind here is teams have different number of games remaining, right? So Philadelphia, for example, has 25 games left on their schedule. And I believe 21 is the least. Yeah, you got a few teams with 21. So that's number one thing to keep in mind. But the odds that DraftKings has posted, Celtics plus 270, Suns plus 475, Nuggets plus 550, Bucks plus 850, Mavericks plus 850, Clippers 10-1, and on you go from there. Again, this would be best record after the All-Star break, so starting with tonight's games. There's some interesting ones here, Jeff. I think you need to think about this a little bit. Like we were kind of talking about the Final Four odds, there's a lot of qualifiers here. I think you need a team that, is a team going to run away and hide with a one seed or a two seed? No, it doesn't look like that right now, but, could theoretically Denver get into a spot where they're right there? Yeah, maybe. Who knows? That could happen. I mean, they got a 5-game lead right now on the Grizzlies. I think you need to keep stuff like that in mind. You need to keep stuff like the Cavs are maybe a team I like in this, but right now they got a 2.5-game lead on the Nets in the 5 seed. They got a 4.5-game lead on the Knicks in the 6 seed. Is there a chance that the top 4 teams in the East kind of run away and hide, and then they can just play, they can use home court, and there's not going to be a lot of jostling for position there between the 4 and 3 seed? I don't know. I think it's something to keep in mind. These odds are interesting, though. There's 3 teams that do jump out to me here, Jeff. I think you got to start with the Mavericks. I'm not extremely high on this team. I don't know that I think this Luka Kyrie fit is going to work, but you're still talking about two of the most individually talented basketball players on the planet, and they have the easiest schedule remaining in the NBA, including 3 games against the Spurs, 2 games against the Charlotte Hornets, 2 games against the Pacers. You have to keep that kind of stuff in mind when you're looking at making a bet in this market. Even if you don't think the Mavericks are going to be great once the playoff starts, This is a big deal for the end of the regular season and what you're actually betting here. So that one jumped out to me. I don't know if there's any jumping out to you. The Cavs I brought up
Cavs
before.
Cavs are interesting.
Yeah, Cavs I brought up before. 27th toughest remaining schedule in the NBA. So they're at that bottom end too. 3 games against the Hornets, a game against the Rockets, a game against the Pistons left on that schedule. The other team I don't think we can rule out is the Lakers here, Jeff.
There we go.
I mean, they got to make a push, right? There's nobody that is going to be with more pressure to win here over the next few weeks than the Los Angeles Lakers. They are currently 2.5 games back of the play-in position. They are 3.5 games back of the sixth seed in the Mavericks. So they got to win here. They got to win if they want to get into that play-in tournament or even possibly beyond it. I do like what they did at the trade deadline. I do think this team is going to be a lot better as long as AD can stay on the court. They're going to be a lot better than what we've seen them earlier this year. That one would be, if you're looking for a longer odd one, that one interests me a bit at 13-1. I don't know how I'm going further down the list. I don't know how many more of them jump out to me.
Kelly, can I ask you an NBA scheduling question real quick?
Sure.
Because just looking through the remaining strength of schedules, and it shows who they have left on the page I'm on. It is February 23rd. How can the Thunder and the Suns have 4 games against each other left?
That stuff always
How is
me
that
up.
Possible?
I don't know.
What kind of scheduling is that?
It's got to be like an arena issue or something. But that's still
ridiculous.
This happens once or twice a year with teams, and it never makes any sense. I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Like, I'm going through, the Thunder have the Kings twice, the Clippers on a back-to-back. All right, fine. And then you get to it, Phoenix 4. What? So I it's funny because I actually was thinking, like, you know what? It's probably not going to happen, but at 150-1 with a team that is on the cusp of making, they're at the 10 seed right now. They're young, they're playing well. Again, I don't think it's worth making a bet because a lot of good things have to happen for you. But it's 150-1 on Oklahoma City to have the best record after the All-Star break. And then I see the 4 against Phoenix, which, no thank you then. Because then you could be getting an 0-4 there. Phoenix is playing straight up in all those games, Kelly, and you're toast.
Yeah.
You're totally toast.
So I love the Thunder, but, man, this team would have to run pure. They'd have to run pure.
Well, and also, again, 4 against the Suns. And 2 against the Clippers, where the Clippers could very easily need those games in April to stay in the top 6. Bad mix. Very bad mix. Dallas is the only thing. Dallas and Cleveland are the only 2 things I'd consider here.
I actually think I like the Mavericks. I don't really love that team.
Yeah, look, I don't love that team either, but their schedule's easy. And the best opponent they play the most remaining is Memphis. And I actually think they match up all right with Memphis.
Yeah. Memphis is overrated too.
So, plus 850 on Dallas, they have the best post All-Star break record in the NBA. I don't mind that. Don't mind that at all. Hey, college hoops, another big card. Kelly, we got another one of Twitter's favorite trend today. Northwestern and Illinois, that's the game. More to preview here on A Numbers Game.